Christmas season around the globe. It's a special day celebrating our Lord and Savior who came. The very reason for the season, not just a time for cutting down trees and decking them with silver and gold and giving gifts and all that fun stuff, not just a major holiday or a season for retailers building wealth and amassing wealth. That's not the reason for the season, is to get rich off of everyone buying Christmas presents. But the most meaningful gift is God in the flesh. God coming. The most enduring gift is God in our hearts. And yet, we will receive him again as well. In this Advent, we're preparing for the coming of the Lord and Savior as a baby, coming again in the Holy Spirit, and we're still in waiting in anticipation for God to come again for his saints, his bride, and take us home with him. So we're still in waiting, in anticipation, waiting for his final return. Advent simply means coming in Latin, a celebration that began in the later 400s and became popular in the 1800s amongst Christian culture. Advent is a liturgical reference to the celebration and remembrance of the coming of Jesus. And then secondly, the preparation for the return and coming of Christ Jesus when he returns for you and I as his bride, as I mentioned, in his full glory and splendor. In flesh, Messiah, King, Deliverer, in our hearts, Comforter, Belonging, Empowerment, and in glory at the end of time, he returns again as King, Judge, Ruler, and Rewarder. Wow. So the next few Sundays, we're going to reflect on Jesus, of course. That's what we'll always do when we're here, but specifically to do with the Advent season, we're starting with hope today. And then we're going to look at love again in a different lens, joy, and of course, peace. The gifts he gave, the gifts he gives, and the gift he is forever is. And so let's start with where the story of hope begins this morning. Last Sunday, I was a little bit more excited, and I did a little bit of preaching, and a few people got scared and ran out. But today, we're going to just be a little bit teachy. And I want to just remind us of what we're here for and what the season really is in remembrance of. And because we got carried away sometimes with the Christmas season, the busyness, and buying extra turkeys and having all kinds of fun. And it's great. Those are amazing things to be able to do. But where the story of hope actually begins is with Jesus. His story starts way actually before his birth. Isaiah, who was an evangelical prophet of old, recorded in the scriptures, what we call the Bible today, and in the writings, he prophesies and supernaturally foretells, predicts the coming of a Messiah, a Savior, a Redeemer, that was to come and to fulfill the promises given to Abraham, of a never-ending kingdom of peace and righteousness that was yet to come. Isaiah 9:6 is a popular scripture that we might have for you, betcha. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is Isaiah way before Jesus ever came. The prophetic was talking. The prophetic was saying, hey, there's something coming that I want you to look forward to. It's the saving grace, the saving Messiah that's going to set us free from our oppression, set us free from being, you know, going through the tussle that they did in the Old Testament. If you ever read the Old Testament, the Torah and the old scriptures, you realize that that's a very different time frame than what we live in today. But yet, when you know who Jesus is, through the lens of the New Testament scripture and the Gospels, and when you understand Jesus in you, and then you look back at the Old Testament and you see, wow, that makes a lot more sense. I see Jesus scattered throughout the entire Old Testament, throughout the entire Old Scriptures, because they're prophesying about the Messiah to come way before he ever did. And the reason why he would come was to set us free and restore us to a right relationship, righteousness, and a right relationship with God the Father. And that's powerful, that Jesus himself was that answer, is still the Messiah. So these people of old were waiting in expectation of a great king to come, a deliverer, a conqueror, who was prophesied throughout the scriptures. Matthew 3 and 1:3. So now we're going to go from Isaiah, which is Old Testament. We're going to jump into Matthew, where they repeat the prophetic. And it says in Matthew 3 and 1, it says, in those days, John the Baptist, the crazy guy that eats grasshoppers and wears skins on him, came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 3, for this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So here John is talking, we're referencing back to the old prophetic scriptures, saying, this is he who was prophesied from times of old. This is him. In the book of Numbers, which is even before Isaiah, which is the book of service and walk that follows Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus, a book that covers a period of about 39 years, Balaam, who was a non-Israelite prophet, prophesies in Numbers 24 and verse 17, says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. All right, this is Numbers way, way, way back, right? And now we're going to jump back into Matthew in a second. Later in the gospel here, in the Gospels of Matthew, just after the birth of Jesus, Matthew is also known as Levi, actually, a Jew and a tax collector who was working for the Romans, records and references the same prophecy. Matthew 2 and 2 says, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Amazing. The story of Jesus being foretold way before Jesus ever was born on this earth. Micah, another prophet who was actually from Judah, writes in Micah in verse chapter 5 and verse 2. I'm just giving you a little backstory to who this Jesus is, writing from the scriptures that we have is what we call Bible today. Micah 5 and verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. So this Messiah that's going to come is from old, and he's also everlasting. Wow. Then we jump again into Luke. Luke, another gospel, records the birth of Jesus. Did I miss Matthew 2:6? Okay, let's go back to Matthew 2:6. We're going to talk about Bethlehem first. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah now. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So we see Micah talking about it. Again, the gospel writer of Matthew talking about it. In Bethlehem, this Messiah is going to come, and he's going to be the ruler of the world. And then Luke talks about it in Luke 2. The angels appear to shepherds in the field. Chapter 2, verse 11, for unto you this is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. As a man, our Lord and Savior, from David's city, but as the Son of God, his coming and going is from and to eternity. Though the Jews rejected him, he is the shepherd, the great shepherd of men. He is great to the very ends of the earth. And he has made peace by the blood of the cross. Christ came to earth in obedience, surrendered to live the perfect life. And as we reflected this morning with communion, and to die the death we deserved, to die in exchange for our sins, redeemed, purchased, covered, overlooked by his blood. Thanks, Jesus. Hope came. Jesus is the physical embodiment of hope. He came to fulfill all the law and the prophets and restore humanity back into right standing into right relationship with God. You have become righteous for his name's sake. Righteousness is right standing, is in right relationship. Your relationship is in right standing with God because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Gave his life in exchange for yours, taking the punishment for my sin in my stead, in my stance. Sent the Comforter in his name, as Jesus promised, as God promised. The Holy Spirit clothing you with righteousness, with peace and joy in the kingdom of heaven, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in you. So we serve and we minister. We wait with patience and with expectation for his return. As Lord and King, he will return for his bride. John 3:16 says, you know this one well as well, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God loved us so much, he sent Jesus for us, so that we might be in perfect relationship with him, in right standing, in right relationship. What an amazing Father we have that loves us so much that he gave Jesus. And Jesus then laid down his life as a perfect lamb, a perfect sacrifice for you and I, standing in our stead, taking the punishment for you and I, so that we might have an inheritance through his work. A life everlasting with Christ. John 10:10, I have come. This we're talking about. Hope has come. I have come that all may have life and life abundant. We've used these scriptures quite a few times over the last 11 months talking about the relationship that we have in Jesus and the love that we have invested in us and being restored in unity, restored in perfect relationship with him through his love and through his Holy Spirit that's poured out into us through the pouring out of the Holy Ghost. Life and life abundant, that is hope for our world. I have come that you may have life, and not just a little bit of life, but life to the abundance, life overflowing. Like when you think of abundance, what do you think of when you go to the grocery store? Man, I remember when I was a kid. Today, when I go to the grocery store, it's like five items is $100. When I was a kid, my mom would have two full grocery carts, and it was $150 for groceries, and it was like stacked right up. That was abundance. Now I'm like pushing my five items, and it's a little bit different. But abundance, it's overflowing. It's stuff falling out of the cart. Yeah. That's how all my life, I know that I have that access to the Father where I too can live in full abundance. It's an attitude, actually. It's a gratitude, attitude of gratitude. It's a few things. 1 John 4:9 says, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. Verse 10, in this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, to be the final act, to be the final sacrifice, a sacrifice that was above and beyond worthy of countenance from God himself. Standing in the gap, fully. It wasn't mediocrity. Hope has come. Hope came. Hope has risen. Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God. We're talking about Jesus, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. And for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And verse 21, and you, who once were aliens, I'm going to say alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil things, evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. You have been restored unto relationship with God himself through the perfect relationship, the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ here, born, lived a perfect life, died in your stead, and rose again by the resurrection power that now has been invested in you. Reconciled by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, righteous, holy, justified, sanctified. Wow, what an amazing, do you see what size of gift Jesus really is? Amazing gift to us. I know we don't really sometimes maybe quantify the level of gift that it is because we haven't died and gone to hell or heaven yet, so we don't realize sometimes, but that's not quite the way we want to live, is with that golden ticket mentality as I sit and wait on the Lord in a different perspective and wait till he comes and I get to go back to heaven and dance on streets of gold. But guess what? Being reconciled unto God now and having the Holy Spirit invested in me now means that I can live a fully redeemed, a fully empowered, a fully alive again in him. I can live a life that's living in abundance right now because of that perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that perfect gift. See, hope rose from the dead. And we know Jesus rose from the dead. And hope risen gives life. Life that can only come from the giver of life. This hope goes beyond yesterday. This hope goes beyond even the present. This hope goes on even beyond hype. Because sometimes we think hope looks like anticipation or excitement or hype it up. But that's not hope. See, hype is anticipation and excitement, but in and of itself, hype has no ability to sustain nor satisfy. It's short-lived. It's like caffeine. I love it, but it only lasts for a few moments. That's hype. But hope goes beyond. Hope is a mindset. Hope is a choice. Hope becomes an outlook. Hope becomes an attitude, a paradigm, a perspective. When I live my life through the lens of hope, how I conduct my life and how I walk in my life, I walk with my head high knowing who I am in Christ. But when I walk with hype, I'm like, do, 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 do. No, I want to walk with hope because now I know who I am in Christ, that I've been reconciled unto the Father through his perfect sacrifice. Now I live in the fullness of life. I live in this overflow. I live in this abundance of life. And it's not just for me. What I get to see is everywhere I touch is another flower, another life-giving touch that everywhere I go, it's like the Midas touch. But it's Christ in you, which is the hope and fulfillment of the fullness and the glory of God that works through you. Ah. Hope. Hope is not just temporary. That's hype. Hope is beyond living and breathing. And we have access to such a great hope that even after this life, see, as we get older, hope sometimes might diminish if you lived hope in just yourself. But when you know that when this life is over, I'm going to be given a new body, I'm going to be 25 years younger, probably, and so much more beautiful with a six-pack of abs. I don't know what it's going to look like, but what I do know is I'm going to be beside the Father in heaven with him and just living in the utmost realm that is beyond our imagination, where he diligently rewards you for life on earth and how you've walked this life of hope with him. You receive a crown of life. It's not just about right here. It goes way beyond our living and breathing. His bride, the feast, his children living with him for eternity. A place where your pain, your suffering, all of your problems look very different than how we look at them right here on this earth. Hope has risen. Why? Because Christ rose from the grave on the third day by the resurrection power. And he in you too, hope has risen. He now lives in you. And if he doesn't live in you, we'll walk with you through that. We'll talk about it. We'll journey with you through that process. I'd love to have that conversation with you. But if you have said, Jesus, come and live in my life, I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life, you are now a new creation. You are now a son and a daughter in the kingdom of heaven. Let hope rise in you. Let hope rise in you. See, some of us forget that we are living between D-Day and V-Day. You've probably heard this before, when D-Day was one of the greatest days of invasion in Europe by the U.S. and Canada and the Commonwealth countries, when they invaded to take over and suppress the Nazi uprising across the Western Europe and beyond. And that was when the tide was turned in World War II. But see, V-Day came months later when they actually had effectively suppressed the Nazi regime and were able to walk through the streets celebrating absolute victory. Although the tide was turned on D-Day, there were still a lot of skirmishes and a lot of little battles going on between. But victory technically was already been won. But victory was celebrated when they were walking through the streets of glory. And you and I sometimes, we're in that time frame of D-Day and V-Day. The battle's already been won. The enemy has been crushed. The head of the serpent was stepped on. He has no power over you. The power, the fullness of the glory of God dwells in you. You have power to overtake the enemy, the principality, and the powers of this world because of Christ in you. Wow. The tides of the battle were turned at the resurrection of Christ. He arose and he conquered death and the grave, the firstborn from the dead. Even as we are living between one victory to another, or let's put it this way, from one glory to another glory, this present life does not have to be without hope. As hope rises, we experience life to the fullest. As I've said, we live in the overflow when we live in that perspective of living in that hope. Hope has risen in me. A life that is filled with hope, love, joy, and peace. Hey, you know, these four things is what the entire world that we're in relationship with is looking for. We want hope. We want to feel loved. We want to feel happiness, joy. And we want peace. Yeah, of course we want. The entire world around us is looking for the exact same thing. Earth itself is groaning in waiting for that perfect return of Christ himself. Proverbs 13 and verse 12. You might know this scripture. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. See, deferred means to postpone or to put off for a different time later on. I'll go through this, whatever this is. I'm gonna do some yoga now. I don't want to offend now. I'm gonna take up boxing. Woo! And I'm gonna find some hope in getting skinny. Or when we defer our hope from Christ into the temporal, our heart stays sick. Our heart grows sick. Why? Because hope only comes from Christ. Christ is the hope of glory. Christ is hope. Christ is love. Christ is joy. Christ is peace. He is the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets. He is everything that you could ever ask for in Christ Jesus. From despair, fear, to hope, No more postponing. Becoming that tree of life that brings forth fruit. Hope in despair. Hope in hurt. Hope in shame. Hope in persecution. Hope in the loss of life in relationships. Shunned, avoided, financial losses and poverty and homelessness. Relationship deteriorations. Broken marriages. Divorce and singleness. Hey, just because you're single doesn't mean you're broken. Right? There's hope in singleness even still. Why? Because hope is found in Christ, not in marriage. It's fun. It's great. It's worrisome. It's a lot of other things too. It's work. But I just wanted to key in that singleness is not brokenness. Sexuality, identity, questioning, gender, confusion, dysphoria. Hope is found in all of these areas that the world wrestles in. The only answer for all these areas is Jesus Christ, is hope. Isolation, loneliness, addiction, self-harming, sick, in pain, suffering, disease. Hey, did you know you can still walk through cancer and have hope in Christ? Because you know what? At the end of this road, you still know that that hope for Jesus to come and to take you with him and to have eternal life with him where I will not walk in that pain. Well, I will no longer. That doesn't mean we don't ask for healing. We do ask for healing. I believe in healing. We see healing all the time, both here and around the globe in our faith. And it's powerful. But at the same time, hope is still has risen. Hope is alive. Doesn't matter what situation you're going through, there is a hope. And it might not be particularly in your circumstance itself, but it is found in Christ because he gives you that peace. He gives you that hope. He gives you that joy and that love. He gives you that belonging and that identity. Yes, hope goes beyond every situation, beyond your yesterday, beyond all the mistakes we've always made. It carries us through even today in my brokenness or whatever I'm going through. In my hunger, in my pain, hope is right here with me. It carries me through my today and births in us an expectation for what is beyond this world of eating, breathing, experiencing, living. Hope does give life. Christ gives us life. He gives us hope. A redemptive plan. Now, sons and daughters, forever, from eternity and to eternity. That means it's boom. I can't even understand how big that is. It's beyond vast. When I look into the heavens and we look at the stars, I know when you don't see many stars. There's too many mountains. Go back to Alberta when it's cold and you see the northern lights and you see like, wow, there's billions of stars. Stars that he knows them by name. Are you kidding me? That's beyond what I can understand. But that same hope that is in you is beyond your ability to fathom how big and beautiful and amazing this hope is for you and I. But this doesn't just stop there. That tree of life that's now in you produces a fruit. And guess what? That fruit produces an aroma. And then everybody walking by, ding. Wow, I smell peace. Smells like donuts. I smell love. Wow. So foreign in this world of dead works. Trees that don't produce fruit. Trees that don't produce life. But when I walk in that hope, I have a new sense of life-giving essence in me. And man, the limbs of this tree, the birds are in it. They're taking their sweet old time and they're making kind of a bit of a mess maybe around me. But that fruit that I'm producing because of the life of Christ in me producing that fruit of the Spirit now becomes something that the world is attracted to and wants to have. Hey, when the world sees love, the way you and I know love, they crave it. When the world sees peace, the way that you and I see peace with a Prince of Peace that is beyond measure within us, they want that peace. Hope. Hope, hope, hope. Let hope rise in you. Hope is on the scene. Hope has arrived and is on the scene. So what? How does this all help me? What's the practicality? What's the praxis here? What's the application of Jesus today? This Jesus who came, died, resurrected, and ascended into heaven has sent the Holy Spirit in his name. John 14 and 26, this translation calls it the Helper. But the Helper, some say the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance of all that I have said to you. And if we jump over to Matthew, another gospel, chapter 11, verse 28 and 29 says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Hope is on the scene. Hope says, come. There's something bigger than yourself. There's something more powerful than the energy that you have. There's something that's more reliable than your own self. There's something more reliable than your own intellect. There is hope beyond measure. There is hope in Christ. There is hope after life, after death. There is a hope. But in the process, there's hope now through the power of the Holy Spirit who has come and gives us comfort and teaches us all things, walks with us, guides us, leads us, and gives us rest. This rest we find in the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Keep your life free from money. No, from the love of money. I need money still. And be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So we can confidently say, this Lord, the Lord, is my helper. So I won't fear. See, the opposite of hope is despair. And despair is a byproduct of fear. When we're afraid that my finances aren't coming through, when I'm afraid that my relationship is failing, when I'm afraid that my kids are using drugs and alcohol, or I'm afraid that whatever it is that I'm wrestling through in that fear brings and breeds a despair. I feel hopelessness. I feel broken and isolated and disenfranchised from all that I've been created to be. But God comes and says, hey, hope has come. Hope has risen. And hope is on the scene here for you and I to have that investment of the Holy Spirit in you and I, giving us and restoring us in us hope and hope everlasting, because it goes beyond from and to eternity. What can man do to me? Right, they can kill you, but guess what? Whatever. I get to go and be home with my Father in heaven. Yeah. That doesn't mean I get to drive like a maniac because I'm going home to heaven. Right? You have a job to do at the same time here. Remember I talked about that tree that brings forth fruit and that fruit that smells so beautiful. There's so many other people around you that need hope, that need love, that need joy, that need peace. And a part of my responsibility as a kingdom agent is to make sure that I'm producing fruit that someone else can consume. And they too can find that hope in Christ like you and I. See, it's a hope that redeems your past. Some of you are still afraid and sometimes even sick from what the past that you've experienced. And sometimes rightfully so, because there's things that we go through in our past that are wrong and absolutely wrong, where other people hurt us. And I've never walked a day in your shoes, but I do know at the same time that there is such a hope beyond our understanding that redeems you from your past. Amen. And then not only does he redeem your past, which has purchased you out of, makes you new, restores you into a right relationship, righteousness, he also empowers your present by the power of the Holy Ghost who has been, what, invested in you. Poured out into you by the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Empowers your presence, gives you power to overcome darkness, gives you power to overcome fear, gives you power to overcome doubt. And then what? There's more to come. He secures your future. See, forgiveness wasn't just for one sin. Forgiveness is for the entirety of your sins. Through faith in Christ, he has made you whole and has made you new. He's purchased you. You are now being made righteous, reconciled unto the Father, and gives you a security, seals you unto redemption, so that when you pass from life to death, I still can champion that transition because I have hope that there's something bigger beyond, something greater beyond than what I'm walking through right now, what I've walked through in my past. Ephesians 2. Almost done here. How are we doing? 5 minutes. Verse 12. Remember, let me remind you that you were at one time separated from Christ. Again, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. This basically describes those that are around us that don't know Jesus. They walk with no hope and without God. But verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. Verse 16, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone or the capstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Hey, hope is on the scene. Hope is here. Hope can and is be in you. If that makes any sense. Galatians 4. Hope has come. Hope has risen. Hope is here still today. And hope is yet to come. Galatians 4 and verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Daddy, Papa, Father, you have a Father, and you have full access to him. This hope that you have in Christ reconciled you unto the Father in right standing and right relationship is right present, right here, right now, by the pouring out of the Holy Spirit that's in you. Hope. Moving on to hope in you. Christ in you, the very fullness of the glory of God, bringing healing from yesterday, freedom for today, and belonging in the present to the one who was and is yet to come, Christ, our Lord and Savior. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hope has come, and hope is in you and is greater than what this world offers you. Not just life in the mortal, in the here and now, but later in the life to come, in the immortal too, is hope abounds. John 6 and 40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him shall have or should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Hope of glory. Colossians 2:8. Lots of scripture here this morning. Are you with me still? Yeah. Kind of, sort of? Yeah. You got carried away by those donut smells I was smelling. Colossians 2, and we're almost done. Verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to our human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not after Christ. So if it's not of Christ, just toss it. Let Christ be the hope in you, not the philosophy and the wisdom of this world, but let Christ grow within you. Let Christ mature you. Let Christ make you who he wants you to be, and he gives you hope as you walk through that process. Where am I at? Verse 9. For in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. Last week we preached about being my faith being in proximity to authority. Christ in me. I'm right there with God. That authority is right here in me. Who is the head of all rule and authority, who takes precedence over every principle, every power, every viper and naughty stuff. Hope. Hope is in you. Hope will raise you up on the last day, and you get to experience that glorified body. My, I'm looking forward to it. But right now, since we're still here, I want to remind you to be a contagion. And that sounds like a bad word, because contagion is usually diseases and so on, but we're going to go there. Let hope be a contagion in you. Let hope be contagious through you. When you walk into the room, hope should rise. Love should be felt. Peace will be experienced. Joy will be exuding from you. Because that's the fullness of the glory of God working in you. And it's contagious. So how we worship, what we teach, what message we convey through our lives as we exemplify this is Christ. Not the do-do-do-do-do, but the one that's full of hope, full of love, full of joy and peace. We exemplify Christ, and we're contagious to the world. How we engage our city, how we minister will continue to be based on the reality of what is relevant to our community. You know why? You know what's relevant to our community? It's not about having great music, but it's having hope. It's having peace. It's having joy. It's being made new in Christ, and that being renewed every morning, every day, every 30 seconds. That's being relevant. Why? Because that's what the world needs. And the world sees it and smells it and understands that that's what they want, and a hunger and a thirst grows from them when they see how contagious the hope is in you. Our city needs hope, and I want to be a carrier of hope, a carrier of this contagion. I'm going to spread my disease of hope. Ho, ho, ho. Yes, I want to be a contagion of hope. People are looking for love, looking for hope, looking for peace. Some are looking for freedom from the things they're experiencing right now in real life. Practical help. The world looking for practical help. The counseling and yoga and all that stuff is at its ultimate high, because people are desperate to find something that's transcending their situation. You and I have the answer. And you and I just got to step into their room and let hope be a contagion in us. Let me tell you where this hope comes from. Taking your King James Bible and boom, boom. No, not at all. Be love, be hope, be joy, be peace. Let the Holy Spirit do the thumping for you. Freedom. Some are looking for freedom from the things they're experiencing, as I mentioned. People are desperate for freedom. We as the church, the body, when we get to celebrate hope this season, that hope has come, remember that there is a world near you that desires the same thing. There's a coworker beside you on Monday morning that needs exact same hope that you have. There's a person behind you at the drive-thru who you just fingered that needs hope. when they honk their horn at you. Not that I do that, but this world needs hope. And if you're fingering people, I think maybe we should talk about it and see if we can renew that hope too. But this is life. Sometimes we forget who we are in Christ. Oh, celebrating hope. Remember that everyone around you needs that same hope. Invest hope this Christmas season. I want you to think about investing hope in someone else in your life that is far from God. What does that look like? You've got less than 30 days before that Christmas dinner, and all those crazy in-laws come together, and you hate 35 of them, and you love one of them or two of them maybe. But what would it look like to invest hope in your family? What would it look like to invest hope in your neighborhood, in your workplace, etc.? Invest hope in someone that is far from God. You can make a real and tangible difference in someone's life by being hope, by being Christ. You can reach your city. We can, we will reach our city with the good news of Jesus Christ. We will reach our community through every small group that we have or that is existent. It's not about we or anything. But hope transforms our environment. Relationally oriented, spiritually deep, vitally relevant in bringing hope to our city so they too can thrive in the here and the now and the beyond. Our vertical relationship with Christ, that hope in you and I, it reflects in your horizontal. It will bring hope to others. So be a contagion. Spread hope this season.